up in the morning with sun shining in our eyes.
Our eyes.
We're feeling so low, we think we're gonna cry.
So good.
But we're the baddest men you've ever seen when we slip into a pair of our tight white jeans.
This is the live show from Prague.
Yeah. We've got our bodies back there. Our sheets from Brad. Yeah. Cell phones on our belts because the jeans are too tight. All right, what I'm playing right now is a music video I did with my friend Patrick DeLuca, who is my guest today. It's called Tight White Jeans. That was our, were we opening for you two or closing for you two?
We were closing out the show. So as the roadies were wrapping stuff out the next day, we entertained them.
Well, that one time, With or Without You didn't do it. So they grabbed us and they're like, guys, will you just play? We got 150,000 screaming fans. So this is a little more of it.
Good song. That's the thing.
I stand by it.
It's not super funny, but I don't even know if we wanted it to be.
No, we did it. No, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, it's good.
We never take off our tight white jeans.
Not a good way to clean jeans, by the way, showering in them.
It's terrible jean work. Tight white jeans.
There we go.
This is my favorite part.
This is product placement coming up. Here's Owen's line.
We're some goddamn bugle boys. All right, so basically this music video, you can Google it. It's called Tight White Jeans. I think it's on Vimeo.
We were like 23.
Yeah.
And Comedy Central was like, here's some money to do a bunch of songs, and we were like, how can we parlay this into meeting bikini models?
Literally,
we didn't take it at all seriously and just wanted as many bikini models around us as possible.
Yeah, and then they were all like kind of off-putting.
Yeah, because that's why you don't, it's good to learn the lesson early not to cast someone off their headshot.
Yeah, there'd be some weirdos.
I mean, do you remember the Asian one with the breasts that were the size of NBA regulation basketballs? But she was like 48.
I think Ron married her.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, Ron.
No, Ron's dead.
So Patrick DeLuca, my guest, we met when we were 5 years old.
Yep.
And here's a little tidbit. So I made 60 Minutes, 7 Days, and a lot of you guys watch it and enjoy it. Good times. And Pat, of course, is my best friend in it. And he hasn't seen it.
Yeah. So here's a couple things.
I've texted him a few times about it.
How long is the doc?
It's an hour.
Yeah. So where did... Like, you got to pick your spots, right? Because I don't want to watch it like, oh, I got to watch it because Owen wants me to. I want to, like, really
no,
watch
legit.
It.
No, it's legit. It's good.
I watched the first Making a Murderer the day it came out.
Yeah, I did too.
I've been dying to watch number two.
I bailed it.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I bailed on it.
How come? Because
I committed to The Staircase, and which was amazing.
Okay.
Have you seen Staircase?
No,
it's really it's similar. It's someone who's in jail and you have no idea if he's
okay. So wait, why did you bail? Was it because it was pissing you
my
off?
It's my third time down this rabbit hole.
Okay,
because I also committed to Serial.
Okay, I haven't done that.
So at this point, it's like, did he do it? I'm like, I'm out. It's kind of like that, like back in that when you're in your late 20s and there's that girl at the party that's like, yeah, I hate my dad, but I'll suck your dick. And you're like, I've done this. Like, this isn't good.
I've been there. And
it's like,
not
it's thrilling for a second. And then you're just like, but do I really want to commit hours of my life to this?
Well, if you think about it, it's like episode one is meeting her, the initial thrill that someone's talking to you.
Right.
The last episode's the blowjob. The middle episodes is the horrible conversation for 4 hours.
Yeah, and then
the part you don't like.
And then the one even after the last episode is her like awkwardly trying to fuck up your life.
Yeah,
but she's not even good at fucking up your life. She's just like trying to.
Generally, that girl's not good at much of anything. Let me ask you this though: did you watch The Jinx? Is that the third
Jinx
one
is incredible?
Say? Yeah.
Have you seen Jinx?
Yeah, I loved it. How weird is this? Feels so bad for Robert Durst.
Me too.
At the end, I'm like, oh, I just want to give him a hug, the billionaire.
I know, because when he killed that one dude, I was like, but he was being really annoying.
Yeah, and the other guy was like a gun-toting, like, southerner.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Where was this from? I left my wallet out in the bar.
Should I clap for the edit?
No, that's in.
It's in.
We don't edit.
Someone throws your wallet. You left your wallet on the... You're in your
30s. Found it.
I'm 35. I'm about to have a child.
You announce your age publicly?
Yeah. I'm proud of it. I'm proud I made it this far.
I've actually just started having anxiety about my age.
Well, I'm considerably older than you.
Yeah, it's 16 we're looking
days.
At 19 days.
16. Or, yeah. You're June 9th.
Yeah, you're May 21st. So it's,
4th. It's you never remember. Yeah, it's the 4th.
May 24th.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, 35's freaking me out, man. And not in the sense like, oh, I haven't accomplished stuff. It's more just like, oh my God, like I'm halfway. I'm halfway in.
Maybe you're like way more than halfway. You don't even know.
No, I know. But even just if
That's
I make
That's why I got
it,
a vape pen.
Did you get one?
Yeah.
What did that... Were you smoking cigs?
No, weed.
Oh, okay.
Just because I don't like smoke and I don't like being like really bad high. I don't even like weed that much, but like a little vape pen when you're thinking about being halfway in, it's good. Dials you down.
I didn't know you were smoking weed that regularly. Was that like your...
Not very regularly. Like I'll go through one vape cartridge for like 2 months. Like I'm horribly not like into the weed that much, but I do like the ego destroying effect of weed.
Yeah. I mean, I like the ego building aspect of alcohol.
Right.
You know what I mean, that's why I drink.
And then the ego focusing of Adderall.
Dude, but it's funny. Like even tomorrow night's like a free night for me. Right. So like the girlfriend's not going to be with me tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And I'm already excited to drink alone on my couch.
Perfect.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I might play Madden. I have no idea. But like the nights where you're alone on the couch drinking and like after like the third cocktail, the ideas you start coming out with where you're like, dude, I am going to get into stock trading.
Yeah.
like the you're ego like,
dude,
is
we can
insane.
Make a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Like we could just make money doing what we like.
Right. And the texts that you send other people like, bro, let's get TMD back together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
no,
nuts.
Because it's like you become pure emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Where literally you start thinking like, everything says we're not going to die. Like we haven't died yet.
Right.
Like if you did a scientific breakdown of every second we've been alive, the odds are overwhelming that we're never going
right.
to die.
Do you, if you're drunk alone, do you find yourself, let me say buzzed alone, do you find yourself talking audibly to yourself more?
Yeah, I laugh out loud at television.
Okay. What about just full like lines of dialogue where you'll be like, that's right, buddy. And just kind of start laughing because I do it a lot.
Yeah, I've done stuff like that where it's like, looks like we're going to have to go down another path. Like you're always doing like movie catchphrases.
Yeah, literally. I think I said yesterday,
like,
a couple days ago.
And it begins again.
And the wormhole opens.
Did you say that?
Yeah, something like that. As I was going to take a pee.
The only time I've ever done acid, your voice was in my head.
What was it?
Remember that back in the day?
Yeah.
It was in high school.
With the kid that went crazy.
No, but remember we were saying nifty all the time? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Pat and I would be so, we like to call it creative instead of being liars, but we would just like make shit up. And so we had this thing where we would say nifty, which means it was real. So it's like nifty, I want an apple. Because we got to the point where we'd lie about like having a sore foot. Like it was crazy. So nifty would bring us back to reality. And so I did acid one time and I had to go home immediately after. So I'm alone in my room and in my head is just Pat's voice going, nifty, 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 nifty. And that's the last time I've
ever
done
acid. You didn't know is that I was just in your bed next to you. We were having a sleepover. And I was just doing that because you were crying.
Yeah, you would.
It was great.
Yeah, you would have done that.
Now, let me ask you, do you still have night terrors?
Yeah, not like I used to. You can feel free to tell some of those stories.
I don't know if it's, you know, this is what, podcast 70 for you? So I don't know.
I've never brought him up.
Yeah, I was wondering that the other day. Like, you know, you sleep in a bed with the same woman every night. So has your wife experienced your craziness?
She's never experienced it. I think she may have experienced one.
What was it?
Just one of those textbook night terrors.
Spider or camera filming you?
I don't know, but I ended up like, you know, naked, crouched in a corner.
Yeah. That was about, do you remember that one when you were naked behind the plant when we all lived together in Oswego, New York?
Yeah. I mean, I used to have them a lot.
That was particularly mental though. Like, so as I remember it, I was hanging out with two of our other friends. You were going to sleep cause you were moving mattresses that summer.
Yeah.
And you had to be at work at like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And so you would go to bed like a little earlier. We were all up and all of a sudden it's just, ah, ah, and then a scramble in the room. And we were all already laughing, kind of figuring that you're having a bad dream. And we go into the room that you and I shared for no reason, by the way. There was an extra room.
just codependent friendship.
Yeah. And you were naked behind the potted plant. And when we asked you what was wrong, you said there was a big tarantula in the room. Yeah. And that it had 1 foot in each of your eyes. And it was punching you with the other feet and hands. And then you wouldn't come out from behind the plant, and we left you there.
Yeah, I was probably still asleep, right?
Yeah, you were, but your eyes were open. That was the weird thing, and especially because you're a large man, it was like, what if the next thing is he goes to get a knife?
Right. It never went to that, though. It was always just personal terror.
Yeah, but is that part of your brain just less active now? That it's
yeah,
not
I don't know. I just got past it. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Anxiety, maybe. Now that you've made it, you don't have any.
Yeah, but that's the thing about making it is they keep taking it away and giving it to you and taking it away. And then you realize making it is just making web videos and fucking staying hydrated.
That was it. Dude, hydration. Your skin does look good, by the way.
Thanks, man. So is yours.
Nice. Yeah.
We're not aging a lot. We look like we're in our middle school pictures.
I saw a guy who was like my age the other day on Facebook that I hadn't seen in a while. I'm not kidding. I thought he was 58.
Yeah. No, people are aging.
Why are we so great and everyone else is so awful?
I don't know.
What do you think?
What did we figure out in your attic? Remember when all we used to do is draw like weapons in your attic?
You know, it's
before we were the talk of the town. Pat and I used to not have any friends except each other.
It was just the two. do you remember? It's funny because I was just talking about this. I was skiing last weekend. I was talking about a time where, because I had bunk beds, twin-sized bunk beds in my room.
Yeah.
And just out of sheer boredom, we would just go into the top bunk because that was more exciting than sitting in chairs.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what we were mad at each other for, but my brother Dominic walked into the room, who's about 10 years older, and we were both just biting each other at the same time as hard as we could. And like, I just remember we were 10 and my 20-year-old brother walking in just going, oh God. And just walking out. We were hooked on like pit bulls to each other's forearms.
Yeah. It was, maybe it was a pain who would let go first situation.
I think it was like a genuine anger over a Playboy that we had found.
Oh yeah. We found one, maybe two. Oh, this is one of the greatest moves you've ever made.
Oh,
I still think about
Mistake.
It. So I get a Playboy. Because one of his older brothers had a Playboy and we find one. And this is like an 80s Playboy where like at this point you could see it at the cover of Yahoo.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's not just like triple pen like every kid watches now. It's literally just a little bit of bush and you like lose your mind. And so I had control of the Playboy and Pat's like, let me have it. And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, I got a better Playboy. He's like, this one's crazy. It's like shows even more. And I'm like, no way. Like I literally am the most gullible person to sell something to. And he's like, no, seriously. So we switch and his was a gun magazine.
Yeah.
There's no naked women. And I went through every single page.
Here's the other thing. We were such idiots that I remember we took that Playboy and there was the one girl, the cover model that we were like, yeah, she's probably the woman one of us will marry.
Yeah. We were adamant about it.
Yeah. And we went through the whole Playboy thinking there's a decent chance her address would be in there. And we found an address of probably like the publishing company or whoever printed the magazine. And it said West 5th Street, which is a street one away from us that also happens to go for 14 miles. And I believe we rode our bikes over to West 5th Street thinking we might find her.
Yeah, we thought we had a real shot. Remember that?
We weren't young, by the way. Like that was.
I think we were 33.
Like, yeah, that was Christmas break 2 years ago.
Do you remember? Fuck. The fuck was that? I just had the best fucking story. Oh yeah. When we were going to see a movie with your mom and so we're going in.
I'll never forget that because it was legitimately scarring and explains a lot of my current fears.
Yeah. So we're going in to get some candy and soda to take into the theater. What do you remember the movie we're watching?
No. I mean, we walked out of the theater to go to the drugstore to save, I'm sure it amounted to about 30 cents.
Right. And so out of nowhere comes hooligans.
Yeah. Three of them.
Three hooligans. And one of them just goes, hey, Owen, I heard you've been talking shit about Kevin. And I'm like, who's Kevin? Like, I'm a fucking, a little hippie, like nice, like, oh my God, my parents said I could play piano all day long. And all of a sudden, before you know it, just pop, pop, pop right in the face, just getting fucking fucked up.
Yeah.
And my nose was just pouring blood. I remember you were just like, you got to clean that up before we see my mom.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of events like this. Man, I was Okay, first of all, I'm sorry. I should have been caring about your needs.
No, you made the right call.
You got the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah.
And I think my heart was pounding so fast that, like, I don't know what the fuck to do. I was just scared we were going to get caught.
Yeah.
But it's almost as if we wrote this as a segue, because I was thinking about this. And, like, not to make things serious, but there was a well-known fable in the town that we grew up in that there was a flasher in the woods behind the middle school.
Yeah, remember that shit?
And everyone talked about this middle school flasher because there was a huge patch of woods behind the middle school, and everyone was like, oh, there's a flasher in there. It's kind of like one of those things. Like, you don't know if, you know, it's like Bigfoot, right?
Yeah.
And so we're in seventh grade. It's for whatever reason, we decide to ride our bikes like before school that morning. And we're riding our bikes in the middle, like in the woods on the path.
Yeah.
And someone, like rocks start flying by us. And I remember you suggested that it was this obese kid that you know, because we saw like kind of a fat guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, man. And so then we start riding our bikes like out the little stone path to go to school. And we just turn and look to the right. And there is an obese, bald, white man, completely stark naked, furiously masturbating five feet away from us.
Yeah. And it was one of those situations where we're in deep gravel. So we'd spin our pedals it was right out of a nightmare. And our wheel wouldn't turn fast enough. And he wasn't chasing us, but he was slowly walking toward us, jerking off.
Yeah. And so we like ran our bikes out. We got the fuck out of there.
This is when shit gets really weird. Okay. Like when you talk to the teacher, yeah.
Yeah, so then, I don't know if I can say his name. Should I say his name?
Yeah, fuck him.
Is he going to sue us? So, seventh grade music class, that day,
yeah.
I'm talking to Jason Davis, and I'm telling him, like, quietly what happened, because I was, like, pretty embarrassed, and he was, like, my best friend in the class. And I'm like, dude, we saw the guy, he's, like, fucking jerking off, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And all of a sudden, just a fist just starts pounding on the desk. And it's the music teacher, Mr. Taverney. And he's pounding on the desk and he's red face screaming about how lies scare people and rumors and it's a lie and I'm a liar and like, you're lying, you're trying to scare people. This is how shit, you know, gets started. It's a fucking lie. Like, it was the angriest I've ever seen a teacher in my whole life.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I just won't tell anyone else.
Exactly.
And then,
well, people called him Mr. Taverney because he used to be pervy with people.
But he was so skinny. He was so skinny, it wasn't him. It was probably one of his friends.
No, but I feel like
he is also not at all. No, I know.
But it's like...
But he did do that, and I remember telling you, and you're like, fuck, I guess we can't... And then, like, we didn't even tell our... Like, the cops should have been called.
Dude, I imagine that lawsuit. It's like, teacher sues grown men because they recounted how he wouldn't tolerate them, like, talking about how a fucking guy tried to molest them.
Yeah, like, that might not be great. Yeah. Here's the thing. This podcast goes out and then you have 20 comments on your Facebook. Like, dude, Taverney just died, man. It's fucked up.
Well, it's all right. I mean, he might have had some good sides to him.
I'm sure he did. He was, you know, he played the Beatles. I hate the Beatles, by the way.
I like the Beatles.
It's weird. It's boring. How do you get, I can't get into it.
How about how many pedophiles there were in our town?
Well, it's a hacky joke, but it was all the priests. I mean, it was every last one of them.
All of them.
The thing that bummed me out was my local priest, his name was Father Chester.
Chester the molester.
And of course, that's the Chester the molester. Of course, he's the one who's not going to do it because his name's Chester.
Right.
He can't.
Right.
He fucking did it.
He did it. It's kind of like Wetzel had to make a pretzel.
Right. What's your name? Wetzel. What's your first name? Etzel. All right. Get over there and start working on the dough.
Making some pretzels.
Yeah. But I couldn't believe that Chester did it. You know, he diddled the kids.
They all did.
I know.
It's so weird.
Imagine wearing a robe. Like, there's no time where you're more likely to get an erection than when you're just hanging free.
Remember our high school graduation?
Yeah.
Remember what insanity my dad did that morning? So we're up all night at the Flat Rocks partying, and me and you are sitting on our porch, and it's 8 a.m. We haven't slept, senior graduation, and my dad comes out. I mean, I love my father, but he'll push the truth for his agendas. And so he goes, oh, Owen and Patrick, you are going to miss your graduation. And I was like, Jesus, Dad, the graduation's not till noon. And he goes, it's 11:30. And it was like 7 in the morning. Like, the sun had just risen. And we're like, do you think that, like, that's true? Like, do you think that it's really 11:30?
Yeah, I remember we caught him in that. And like, I remember I was drinking a cherry Coke. I have no idea why. I just remember drinking a cherry Coke and being like, that's the weirdest thing anyone's like, everyone knows it's 8. No one thinks it's 11:30.
I remember like he was trying to get us to not, he was trying to get us to not go to a casino on Christmas.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was driving by the casino and they said they were closed on Christmas. And we're like, they never close. Do you fucking believe yourself? Like, do you believe yourself?
So your dad's a PhD.
Yeah.
At the time that that happened, he was, let's say 60. I have no idea. Around 60.
Yeah.
He claimed that, because we were going to go to the casino on Christmas Eve, like any normal 17-year-old would think about doing.
And, from a town riddled with pedophiles.
Yeah. Driving in this, a whiteout. And he claimed that he had been driving by the casino and heard it on the radio.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what? I don't even know where to start.
Like, okay. Yeah, radio ads don't promote days off.
Not to mention, you don't have to drive by the establishment to hear its ad.
Yeah.
That's a little known thing.
I mean, there's so many holes in his fucking story. But he meant his heart was in the right place. He didn't want his 17-year-old son and friend to, like, go break a, you know, probably a felony to gamble. So I get what he was doing. That's why I don't care. But, like, it's like, does he think we're so dumb we didn't fucking get that lie?
But also, like, I never have been clear on his agenda because sometimes his lies were to get you out of the house. Sometimes they were to keep you in the house.
Yeah.
Sometimes he didn't want you to drink. Sometimes he wanted you to drink. Like, I don't know what it was. It was so strange and funny. But, you know, we've caught him in so many now.
So many. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, which I'm very excited about because I'm an avid user of this product. It has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free trial, free 30-day trial, and a free audiobook of your choosing, anyone you want, at audible.com/Owen. Just to give you an idea of how much I use Audible, they keep track of your listening time. I have listened to 28 days, 13 hours, and 54 minutes of books. For anyone that drives a lot for a living, likes to go jogging, likes to work out, basically, if you like podcasts, you'll love Audible.com. And I love to recommend books on my podcast. One I just listened to recently was The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman has a very relaxing voice. He's very British, and it's incredible. David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell. You gotta listen to this. Gladwell narrates it. His voice is incredible. I just started Why Does the World Exist by Jim Holt. Super intense. Not sure what my read is yet on it, but I love it. I'm also listening to Spanish with Pimsleur. Incredible stuff. Sex at Dawn by Christopher Ryan. Thanks for the Feedback by Sheila Heen, Douglas Stone. That's all about being able to take and give feedback properly. Sapiens, which I've done full podcasts about, by Yuval Noah Harari. Incredible. Why Nations Fail. That's good if you like politics. Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. That's good if you like a real underdog story. Just kidding. They're horrible people. Yes, My Accent is Real by my friend Kunal Nair. Great book. The Martian, Andy Weir. Dumbing Us Down by John Gatto. The Brain's Way of Healing by Norman, D-O-I-D-G-E. There are so many that it's on. The Sports Gene by David Epstein. Why Evolution is True by Jerry Coyne. Heroes and Legends with the Great Courses. The Founding Brothers by Joseph Ellis. I mean, there's so many books that I've listened to on here that have just had a profound impact on my life. So you will get a free one. And if it's not your thing, listen, some people are audio learners like me. Some people are more visual. I like to listen to things. Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy is intense. Influence by Robert Cialdini. Yeah, that's good. It's about sales techniques. Give and Take by Adam Grant. That's about how being basically a good person helps you in business. Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell, amazing. The Rational Optimist, solid book by Matt Ridley. The Boys in the Boat, if you like fiction, but historical fiction. It's actually not fiction. What am I talking about? It's basically nonfiction, but it's the story's so good that it feels like fiction. Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown about the rowing team that had to go against the Nazis. What else we got? Ghost Boy. I never really finished that, but it was about someone trapped in themselves. The Lord of Opium by Nancy Farmer. Amazing. That's a child's book, but as most children's book are, most children's books are profoundly deep in their human nature knowledge. What I Know for Sure by Oprah Winfrey. I think that's more for women, but it was an enjoyable thing to understand. The Sea of Trolls by Nancy Farmer. The Salmon of Doubt by Douglas Adams. Trigger Warning by Neil Gaiman. The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman. The Like Switch is very interesting. It's written by an FBI agent. What If, which is just kind of like really cool what if questions, but it's narrated by Will Wheaton. It's written by Randall Monroe. But they actually do the science behind some just insane what ifs. This Is Your Brain on Music, one of my all-time favorite books. The Humans by Matt Haig, wonderful book. Skeptic's Guide to American History, it's one of the great courses. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is a tenth of what I've listened to this year. Psychopath Test by John Ronson, Emotional Awareness with the Dalai Lama and Paul Ekman, Start With Why with Simon Sinek, The Story of Human Language, that's another 20-hour course, but it's incredible. Hatching Twitter by Nick Bilton, great book. Einstein by Walter Isaacson, Bossy Pants by Tina Fey, The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker, and on and on and on. Audible.com is a game changer, and I am so pumped that they are sponsoring us again. So audible.com/Owen. My commercial was supposed to be three sentences. That's how much I believe in this product. So get involved. It'll make you a happier person. Although the one drawback is you get almost too smart, where sometimes people, the fallacies in their arguments get very annoying. Just go to audible.com/Owen and you get a little app on your phone and it's really, really easy to use. Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson is a fantastic book. That's what got me hooked on Walter Isaacson, because he also did Benjamin Franklin and a bunch of other stuff. So, again, I'm probably going on too far, but it's kind of like being sponsored by water or High Fives. It's just such a good product, and I feel very good that I can recommend it to people. So enjoy audible.com/Owen, and tell me what you're reading. Because if you listen to something that you really like, let me know, because I'm always looking for more stuff.
Dude, how about our Key West experience?
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, so Pat and I graduate college. He goes to Cornell. I go to SUNY Platt. He gets a really like high-paying, great corporate job. I live with him in the summer in Rochester. But he's a writer. He's an artist at heart. And we decide we're going to go to Los Angeles. But first, we're going to go to Key West, where his dad had a place. And that was almost like Groundhog's Day. It was like every day was the same, like, beautiful, soft day.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it was like, we had a vague idea that L.A. made sense in general.
Yeah, we just had that draw of like, we just got to do that other. Like, yeah. We got to check other.
Right. But after 3 months in Key West of waking up, going and playing football on the beach, which was just us
running patterns, getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. tanning, swimming, having food provided for us, and then going out and drinking until we're blackout drunk and then doing it again.
Yeah, and then also sometimes playing music for tips on the boardwalk.
That's right. I still wonder to this day, you went to two job, I'm not going to call them interviews, I'll call them auditions.
Yeah.
And you failed both times.
Yep.
What do you think? What if you had gotten the job of being one of the pirate entertainers on the booze cruise?
That's the funniest thing, is that I was trying hard to be a pirate entertainer.
You practiced.
I was practicing my piracy.
Yeah.
And they said no. And I couldn't even get a job in retail selling like wigs.
Well, you wanted the job. So there's a like a little thing that tourists pay for. They go on a cruise to see the sunset on a pirate ship.
Yeah.
And then pirates do like a little like thing where like two guys that are in shape swing from a rope. And then a bunch of guys like, oh, and not to say you're not in shape, but like guys that aren't trapeze artists walk around with an eye patch just going, what do you
want?
I'll give you a beer. And you auditioned for that role twice and didn't get it.
I love how
that's sad.
I love how me and you were like, oh, shit.
we can't work for the Carnival cruise piracy thing. So let's just go to television, like get into film and television in Los Angeles.
Yeah. We got in the car and like slapped high five. We're like, cool, sitcom, here we come.
Yeah. And then we just came here like pretty quickly, like had a show at the Improv. And it's funny how we got so dissed by like
the pirates. People. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably the best thing that could have happened to us. It's almost like when a shitty girl breaks up with you.
Well, I think, I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. Like a lot of people make the joke about LA that like, you're a lot of people that are big fish in their small pond come here and then they're like, oh, fuck.
Right.
I'm fucked. I actually think that when you are shit in the small pond,
right,
it's best to get the fuck out.
Totally.
Like, I couldn't get a job in our hometown ever because like my mom didn't know anyone.
Same with, we couldn't get jobs. Yeah, our families were outsiders.
We literally tried to do the Michigan can scam out of Seinfeld to make money one summer.
Do you remember when you were in New York City interning and I walked from Harlem to the World Trade Center trying to get a job and I couldn't get a job?
I'm staying
with Lazarski.
Yeah, I think in fairness to the purveyors of jobs, you were literally drenched in sweat from head to toe as you were walking in to eating establishments looking for waiting tables jobs. So I think that the best part was you took a subway to Harlem.
Yeah.
And made the decision that you were just going to walk south till you hit Wall Street, which is, I don't know, 120 blocks in 100 degree heat wave. And so we'd kind of been laughing about it all day, myself and our other friend. And we're like, all right, we'll meet you at the World Trade Center. So we have
pre 9/11, by the way. They're actually there.
It was a month before 9/11.
Yeah, it was literally right before the towers went down.
And so we walk up to the World Trade Center to meet you, and you're walking. And I had made the joke. I'm like, you know, he's probably going to be wearing your clothes because you had been wearing his clothes.
Lazarski's.
Yeah, Brian's. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he's wearing a black shirt. And he's like, yeah, I don't have a black shirt. And then as we see you getting closer, we realized it was just his light blue shirt that you had completely soaked through in sweat.
Yeah. I wanted to show that
furious.
I was there. He was mad.
He was really mad.
I stayed with him for at least a month. And then things got kind of uncomfortable. There was a mouse that was kind of heightening the tension.
Didn't he end up trapping the mouse in a bag of Doritos and then hitting it with a hammer? As I remember it,
I think that's what happened. I don't have any visuals in my memory.
I'm going to be fair. You know, I've lived with you for several years after when we moved down here. It was 5 or 6 years. And
I can be tough to live with.
He was pissed about the sock.
What was the sock?
You guys were sitting there and it was the hottest summer on record. Like, it was a crazy hot summer.
That
whack
off in a sock.
That would have been nice compared to what you did. You poured a giant bowl of cereal. It's probably like the salad bowl you're supposed to mix things in cereal, finished polishing off the milk that he had purchased. You guys were sitting there watching TV. You ate the cereal, decided you didn't want to drink all that milk. You set the milk down on the floor. He said, please take the milk to the sink. You said, no, thanks. He then looks down and notices that you're wearing his nice Argyle socks that he was planning to wear the next day. He's like, Jesus, thanks for wearing my socks. So there's a little unspoken tension happening.
Yeah.
And then you announce that you got to piss. You stand up into the bowl of milk, spilling it all over, and then falling loudly knee first onto the ground, which yielded a broomstick into the ceiling complaint from the neighbor below that he already had problems with.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was probably my lack of sleep from night terrors because of all the dreams of being chased in fucking sand.
But why did you do it? Why did you do that?
I've gotten so much better. Like, Amy now always is like, I've gotten so much more domestic. Like, now literally just everything I wash, and it's hilarious.
Are you kind of the clean one with her?
No, she's super clean.
And stuff?
Yeah, but I try harder now that she's pregnant. Like, that's the first time I really, really, truly understood monogamy.
Okay.
Like, I always was like a get monogamy. It's like, we really, really like each other. But now it's like, I just really feel it. Like, I'm like, I look at her and like after taking vows in front of people and, you know, seeing her being pregnant, I'm like, yeah, no, I get this. I get that she needs me. Like, I'm hers.
You know what she's doing right now, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, she's pounding a black guy. I got a story about that. So I'm hosting the Art Director Guild Awards on Sunday. And so I do this song. And part of it, I call actors assholes, but I'm trying to get their confidence pumped up, the art directors. And it's full of actors, you know, like Josh Brolin's there and all these people. And So, and the song kills, like it goes really well to the point where like afterwards, Bryan Cranston's like, oh, that was really funny. We're like broing out. He goes on stage and he goes, yeah, Owen just said actors are assholes. He goes, well, his beautiful pregnant wife. He's like, I'm the dad. So he takes a hit at me. And then after I like right after I go up and I'm like, my night was going really well. And now it's going even better because someone significantly richer than me will be paying me child support. So it was like, yeah, I think that Cranston may have fucked my wife.
I mean, there's a few reasons I don't think he did that. Oh, okay. You don't really think he did?
I don't think he did.
Oh, okay. Because I did see them hanging out one time.
Really?
Yeah, it was when you were in Seattle last weekend.
Well, she likes meth a lot.
Copy that.
Like the blue shit that like they make that only Walter White can get.
Is he a pretty nice Cranston? Everyone loves that
legend.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing. A lot of people don't understand that aren't from like piece of shit towns like us. It's like you attack each other to show a bond. Like Cranston saying he fucked my wife is probably the nicest thing that he could have said to me.
Do you have some listeners that listen to the show, this podcast?
Yeah.
Nice. Congrats, man.
Thanks.
Let's get
it. We're putting up numbers. We pop in the top 100 and then pop out and then pop back in again.
Just in and out. So let's give your listeners that listen a treat.
Okay.
Let's do a little exercise here.
Great.
It's going to require honesty.
As I pound booze.
Yeah, it's going to require honesty. That's why it's good that you drank that.
Yeah.
Think of the biggest... Now, you're not. Don't say their name. Think of the biggest piece of shit asshole that you've ever met in L.A. that's famous.
Oh, in L.A. Okay.
That's famous.
How famous, though?
Famous enough that it'd be like... You know, kind of interesting. Like, you know, it's always, you always hear those stories where people are like, oh, yeah, this guy's the nicest guy ever. Or like, oh, fuck, he's like a prick. Like,
okay, I got a guy.
You personally, you got a guy?
Yeah.
It's a guy, not a girl, not a woman. Okay. Three clues.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's start giving. I want you to give us three clues and then give me one guess. And if I get it, you have to say yes or no.
Okay, he's a comedian.
Okay.
He has a high-pitched voice, and he is very, very successful. Multiple genres, and he is small. Okay. He's a very small man.
Wow, a fourth clue. You, I think, just want to say the name, by the way.
I almost said the clues were his name. I almost just went his first
you
name
almost
is.
Said rhymes with.
No, I'm sure he's fine. Who knows? It's just my interactions with him.
Okay, if I guess it, are you going to admit?
Of course.
Okay, have you talked about it already on this podcast?
No.
Okay, a comedian that's very successful, who's short, fuck, with a really high voice. The high voice thing's driving me
but
crazy.
But not like crazy high, it's just like a little nasally.
Is it like around?
He's like, hey,
okay.
He's been made fun of on Family Guy.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so, like... You didn't even have to say anything, and I would have guessed that.
I try not to not like people, and I've had very few instances.
You're really positive. That's
I'm a positive guy.
Things, yeah.
To the point where that's almost annoying, where I'm like, no, I mean, Bin Laden's a good guy.
Yeah.
And this dude is just irreparable. It's like, I tried to come to terms with it that he might just not like tall people, but he treats you like a fucking servant. And I'm like, bitch, I'll eat you if oil runs low.
It's funny, because someone else I know... had a thing with him at a Vegas club where their mutual friend was DJing a club in Vegas.
Interesting.
And so he was stuck at a booth with him and he had the same review.
Oh, same I mean, I, there's so many like well-known comedians that would never say this on a podcast, but they fucking hate this guy.
Interesting. By the way. Oh yes. I mean, it's wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I thought he was on the spectrum. Cause like literally one time I was like, hey man, good set. Like I was just trying to say hi and like that, you know, we're both boys with Swartzen or something.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me and walked away. And then the first time I was like, oh, he might have had a bad day. Maybe his fucking parents died today. Like I try to give people cause it would take that to make me act like that.
Right.
I've had tragedy. Remember when Aaron died and like I still went to work as a fucking busboy.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker isn't going to fucking acknowledge that I just said that he had a good set.
It's a weird thing to do to just stonewall.
Right.
Like it almost would have been better if he just went, hey, fuck off.
100%.
You know, because then you'd be like,
yeah, totally.
He's a comedian. I get it.
Or if he just was like, hey, man, I don't want to talk. I'd be like, nice.
I'd be like, cool. I was just saying nice set. All you had to say is thanks. Get the fuck out
of
my face.
If I'd corned him and been like, hey, man, I got an idea for a script, and he still won't be? Fine.
Right.
I said he had a good set, and he just fucking looked at me and walked away.
Super weird.
Second time?
Mental.
Similar thing. Yeah. And so in my head, I'm like, okay, he's on the spectrum. It's fine. He has social anxiety. He's and then I was out one night in New York with Vince Vaughn, and we're at a after party, and I'm standing right next to Vince, and he said, oh, hey, man. I'm like, oh, you have a weird spectrum disorder where next to a famous person, people exist.
I'm sure you didn't call him.
No,
you didn't
want to make it about that. No, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just like, when people say that, it's like I don't like Anthony Jeselnik's comedy, but he seems to be a nice person in person.
Okay.
But other than that, I like everybody. Like, there's literally no one that I've met that I don't like out here.
Yeah, you rarely, you tend to take that, like, I remember we used to go to parties, you know, when you were starting to do comedy and when we were hanging out at the Improv a lot. And, you know, like, I kind of hate everyone. You know, I'd see a girl having a boisterous conversation with another girl, and I'd go, what an entitled bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
What did her dad invent?
Right, for no reason. Rich cunt.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say
that. Yeah, of course you can. It's one of my favorite words all time.
But for no reason, whereas you'd be like, oh, I'm sure she's nice. It was like, you're like the Kevin Kline character from American Pie.
Right.
Or from Election, actually.
Yeah, I literally try so hard to not have beef with people. And it's like, but sometimes I feel like I'm a fucking coward if I don't acknowledge that they're terrible.
Now, are you more or less likely to despise someone and give them the finger if they pull a bad move in traffic, if they're driving like an ostentatious car, like a Bentley versus a normal car?
No, for me, it's Priuses. I feel like if someone's really aggressively trying to be a better person than me,
yeah,
I'm more likely. If someone's just balling, I'm like, sweet.
Sure.
Like, I almost expect it. If, like, Jack Nicholson fucking hung his floppy dick out of a car and was like, fuck you, I'd be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just met Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
But the same with, like, rappers. You know, anyone that's, like, just alpha shit, I'm like, thank God you just fucking took my spot.
Because well, I got in a domestic argument yesterday.
What happened?
No, that's not, that maybe sounded like domestic abuse. Just an argument with my girlfriend. She doesn't even live there.
Well, yeah, we've all been there. People fucking rage on each other.
So we're running, you know, slowly.
Dude, Jamie once called the cops on me and I had a fucking helicopter with a spotlight.
What had you done?
Nothing. It was when we first met.
Ew. Trying to break into her place?
No, it actually wasn't her that called it. We were like fighting in the street, like yelling.
Hammered?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cop called and a neighbor called the cops. And as I was walking, I got spot lit and then guns were drawn.
I'm going to assume it was her fault. And here's why. She weighs like 88 pounds.
Right.
How much did she drink? 3 beers. She's hammered.
Yeah. I think that one was my fault, but, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't like, it was just loud. I'm just loud.
Right now you're loud.
Right. I'm assertive.
Sure.
So I was like,
well, people see a 7-foot tall man hovering over a, she's really tall, isn't she?
She's like 5'5", maybe buck 25.
Yeah, but for an Asian.
Fucking Hispanic. But nah, they look Asian.
It's all about the same. But
yeah. But people fucking argue.
No, I know. And so we're running, right? And our little path that we take is down Santa Monica.
So you're chasing her. What'd she say to deserve it?
I'm just joking.
So you're jogging.
Yeah. She mentioned that she had an ex-boyfriend and I said I was going to kill her.
Right. Makes sense.
So we're running west on Santa Monica through that part of Beverly Hills, like where that cool park is, you know?
Yeah.
And like the trail, you have to just cross some little streets that aren't like main thoroughfares or whatever.
Right.
So we're like kind of jogging and like, you know, it's a red light. These cars are stopped and we just kind of go. And for some reason, this blonde woman in a Bentley coming down out of Beverly Hills just fucking lays on the horn. I have no idea why. They were at a red light. Like the cars weren't moving. We just cut in front of her car. And so I kind of snapped. You know, I don't know. She was having a bad day. I lost it. And I just started berating her and just screaming cunt and holding my middle finger up
right
to her face at the side of the window. And I did it for, you know, a normal amount of time, about, you know, a minute and a half. No, it was like 8 seconds.
Hours.
Yeah. For like 8 seconds. Just right. Going, cunt, fuck you, cunt, 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 fuck you. You know, just because
I got 4 more seconds.
Cunt. I'm losing it. Yeah.
Fuck.
And so then we keep running and my girlfriend's pissed.
Why?
She's like, that was nuts. I was like, no, that was right. She's like, no, that was crazy. Like that was like, you got a real problem.
Jesus.
Right there.
You're like, yeah, I got a problem. It's you.
Yeah. But I was just like, I think most men would have done that.
100%.
Like, she honked for no reason.
Well, yeah,
fuck her.
There's a guy we both know, and I'll leave his name out, but let's just say he believes in lions and zebras.
Okay.
He once pounded on a car for a similar situation. Like someone honked at him, like bad, like, but almost like hit his girlfriend, like with the car.
Okay.
And he just started fucking pounding on the hood.
I don't remember this.
Yeah. This is a story. You got to ask him about it.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty funny. But no, road rage is what I do sometimes is I like to tape people and sit at a red light when it turns green, see how fast they honk at me.
Are you in your car as well?
Yeah. So I'm just like sitting there and I'll just sit there as long as I have to until they honk.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are such assholes in LA with driving. I almost got hit by a car by that guy, Zach Brown.
Oh, the Zach Brown band?
Yeah, he almost hit me.
Wow, was he having a jam session in his fucking little
car?
He was
just like in some like really elevated SUV, and I was crossing with a walkie man. You know, the little white guy that says walk?
Yeah.
His body's white, not his skin.
Right. No, he's a white man.
Yeah. And so he almost hits me. And I kind of reacted poorly. And then I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Zach Brown.
Really?
And I like looked really closely. I was like, it's definitely him.
Yeah. Was it him?
Yeah.
What kind of car was it?
Some like huge, it's like that really boxy Mercedes SUV that looks like it's
G-Wagon?
Ready for war.
Yeah. 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 It sounds like something fucking ZB a drive.
Country band.
God damn him.
These guys are making so much money.
What do you think they pull in?
$15 million a year. Split? No. Each.
Yeah, see, I think people are always richer. People will bring someone up, I'm like, billionaire. They're like, no way. I'm like.
David Bowie, they just announced had $100 million to his name. That's David Bowie. He's been, what is it, 40
that's
albums?
That's fucking it.
Yeah.
Are they just bad with money?
Who's they? British people?
Just like rich people. I don't get why everyone's not a billionaire when they have that kind of heat.
I just don't. Like, I think it's one of those things where, like, you hear these astronomical figures and completely forget that like all of it goes to other places, maybe.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Seacrest is a billionaire.
Is he?
How is he not? He owns all these fucking shows.
I don't know. Has he ever been on your podcast?
No.
You should get him.
I would.
Have the
producer can you guys get him? Can you guys get him? Dude, we can get some good peeps.
What's the dynamic with you and the producer here?
330 mil.
Is that Ryan Seacrest? Fuck. So
yeah, I mean, offshore, it's like, how do you not make more than that?
So how much does your producer chime in?
He can chime in whenever the fuck.
I mean, he's got a mic. I just didn't know if it was one of those like Howard Stern type things.
There you go, get involved.
Yeah.
You can turn it on. Welcome to the big leagues. All you got to do is get a couple drinks and
you can
tell a couple stories about a guy way more powerful than you in Hollywood and child molesters in the woods.
Watch that. Watch this lawsuit come down.
Zero chance.
They can't, right? They don't have radio in Oswego.
Well, yeah, and also it's true.
Right.
It's like not slander. We're pulling back on these fucking lizards.
Yeah, I know. It's
like
true.
We had some experiences growing up that were fucking insane.
I was, for some reason, the molester thing, though. I was just thinking about it. I was like, oh, I think it was like a headline about Cosby.
Yeah.
And how the women took so long to come out. I was like, I get it. I've been there in a much less severe way that
totally
didn't damage me at all. But yeah, we didn't call the police on the molester because Taverney pounded his fist on the fucking thing because he wanted to teach us about a...
Dude, how terrible is that? Jesus Christ. If you think you don't have the money to start your own business, then I have fantastic news. Now you can own a business that has proven to be a phenomenal success all around the country with very little upfront investment. We're talking about Selfie Station. I love the company because it's cool. Selfie Station is a portable touchscreen photo booth that people and businesses book for weddings, corporate functions, trade shows, proms, promotional events, and more. Honestly, honest to God, I was looking for something like this for after shows because I don't like how no one knows how their phone works. So even if you go to a comedy club, I'm sure someone will use it. Once you own one, they're a hit at every holiday party, bar mitzvah, or birthday. And you can make your own money back and more in no time. It's more than just a phone booth. I say phone, I meant photo. It's the entertainment as well. Selfie Station, interactive experience that captures lifelong memories that can be emailed, texted, printed, personalized, and even uploaded to social media. You won't believe how much people will pay you to make your business the life of the party.
It's the easiest income you'll ever earn and pays for itself in no time. You can start your own business right now. Let Selfie Station be the picture taker, the icebreaker, and the money maker. Now, as a special introductory offer, get $500 off the professional package. That's right, $500 off. That's a lot of bread. Go to selfiestation.com and support our show by entering promo code Owen. That's selfiestationpodcast.com, promo code Owen. That's spelled O-W-E-N with an O and an N.
How much of a relief was college?
Yeah.
You had a great time. I used to always visit you at your frat house in college, and it was one of the most fun times I'd ever had.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, when I first got to college, I was alarmed by how much people thought I was like a fucking country bumpkin idiot.
Right.
Like, everyone was like, hey, fucking Jerry Springer, Cletus. I was like, what? I'm cool, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They're like, nice sideburns. Everyone just thought I was like the biggest bumpkin. I don't know. I guess probably not as much for you.
We are kind of bumpkins, though. Well, I went to a state school, so it was like more bumpkin-y. You went to a place where it's like congressmen's kids and shit.
Yeah, but it was all just a bunch of kids from Long Island and like Manhattan that had black North Face jackets and thought that was a thing.
Yeah.
Like the girls that I associated with were dreadful. Like my first girlfriend that I was interested, you know, the first girl that I had in college that, you know, I think even like was remotely interested in me. I saw her on campus. I was walking with my friend. We were both drinking Mountain Dews because that was part of our routine.
More like Mountain Don'ts.
Well, that was, you should talk to her because that's what she thought. So she walks up with a group of about five friends and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she just goes, Mountain Dew, ew, drink Coke.
Shut up.
I swear to God. I swear to God. She's been divorced twice.
Ugh.
Yeah. She married an Israeli guy right out of college. Divorced.
And then what happened with that?
Divorced 2 years later. Then married some other rich guy.
I love that me and you are both the type of fucking like vengeful people that will like make sure we know what happens to our enemies.
Gotta know. What just happened there? Lost my voice. Don't know why.
No, but it was masculine as shit.
Thanks, man. Sound a little bit like Busey right now. What's coming up for you? I have no idea what you're up to. Oh, your kid's coming out.
Yeah, and I just sold a book.
Yeah. What's it about?
So mine's going to be about the male brain in a relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
With a comedic slant?
It's comedic and real. Like it has a scientific base to it.
So in one monogamous relationship?
Just all kinds. It's like a lot of my bits broken down into the realities of it and then like pursue the, you know, human behaviorists and shit.
So you're going to interview people that actually know the science part.
Yeah, because it's
great.
Like,
I would read that. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, thanks. It's like, I think there's a vacuum in literature between douchey books of like how to fuck.
Yeah.
And then also just emasculated men where it's like, on behalf of all men, sorry. And then there's no just like dudes like us that are like good hearted guys, but still like have balls.
Well, so your brother, Jason, who for the first time ever, I looked at just to see what your podcast was about today. And I saw that Jason's been on a couple times. You know, we don't watch it. We don't know what's going on. But
yeah.
But Jason had suggested a book called The Naked Ape to me. And I'm sure, it's a great book about evolution.
And Sperm Wars and all that shit.
Yeah. I haven't read Sperm Wars, but Naked Ape is like awesome.
Awesome.
And, so I started, you remember that time where Lena dumped you?
Yeah, it was mutual, kind of.
Yeah. And then that girl Danny also just broke up with me. I don't know. We had kind of like, we'd just moved out of that house.
Yeah.
We like weren't talking that much. And then we both got like horrendously dumped and we really reconnected.
Yeah.
And your friend Skylar had like recommended this guy who talked about how to get over that shit.
Yeah.
And we called him the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at that time I started reading The Naked Ape and thinking about, you know, what we are as creatures and why these things can affect us so profoundly. Like, you know, and so at that point I took this idea that I was going to like use the concept of like human evolution.
Right.
And I started like teaching it to a lot of my friends that were like, you know, kind of also struggling with like getting chicks and stuff like that. And it was like, it was really amazing how much it worked.
Yeah.
And so I think that angle is awesome for a book.
Yeah. It's like when you're really hurt by somebody, that's when you go through that phase where you're like, I just want to win. I want to win. You know, like I was like such a pussy, like looking back, I can't believe I said these things. And then where we're at now, it's kind of like, how do you like accept the genders from each other? Like accept women for being women, accept men for being men, but still being on an equal playing field, loving and still accepting the, you know, the flaws that make us animals.
Well, think about like the fact that like, okay, Siegfried and Roy are like, cool, there's a bunch of tigers. We could make a lot of money off those if we, you know, granted the one guy got his like lung eaten out, but like,
right.
If we like figure out what that animal's all about, we could like control it and make it work.
Yeah. And I'll give women, ways to control men because we literally operate based on approval where it's like, if you make us feel male, we'll do whatever you want. Like, mm-hmm. did I do good? The whole, like, if you're digging a hole, it's like, baby, you're such a man. It's like, how deep do you want the hole? Right. Where it's like, women have so much control that they don't even realize it.
I know.
You know, it's, I do this long bit about the show Snapped where it's like, men, I won't do the whole bit, but just the basic premise is like men need orders and women don't like orders. Where it's like, a woman will be like, it's cold in here. And the guy's like, I know. You know, mm-hmm. and we go back to thinking about like, why doesn't glue stick to the bottle?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like, but if a woman's like, can you give me a blanket? We'd be like, hell yeah. Is that what's going to make you warm? I'm a man, you know? And then it's the opposite's so true. How, cause women are like that because they don't like orders. So it's like, it's cold in here. We're supposed to be like, why makes cold? And then we like figure it out.
Yeah.
Women, it's like, you come home from a bad day, had a bad day. Don't say one more word. They'll want to love you. They'll be like, I'm going to make them happy. Yeah. The distance. But if you're like, make me cocoa on a bad day. It's like, then they'll burn your dick with the cocoa.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, it's
that throw it in your eyes.
Right. So a lot of it's that communication difference versus like men are pigs, women are crazy. Like that's so fucking stale where it's like,
it is weird how it's just like pressing a button.
Yeah.
It's like, it immediately turns everyone into like a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
When you press that button.
Totally.
Which, and
it's by the so surface. True. We're such animals.
It's especially true for us. Like women, I think, are a more complex being because there's more hormones floating around that change their, you know what I mean? It's like you sprinkle some pepper into a tornado. It's going to do weird stuff.
Right. And they're
always
whereas
us, it's like literally like, oh man, you're so good at that. You should do that more.
100%.
Oh, really? Should I always shovel the driveway?
Yeah.
Yeah. You look so good when you're doing it. Cool.
Are you wet?
Now.
It's like, oh, what do you need me to do?
Yeah, it's really just so interesting.
It's like, and dudes never change. It's like that's what they are.
But why is it so, like? I remember thinking at the time that because it was really the only time I was ever really fucked up by someone dumping me, where I was like, you know, I would literally measure the success of the day by like how close I could get between my bed and the shower before I first started feeling bad about it.
Right.
Like, cool, I almost like turned the water on today before I got depressed.
Oh man, I remember those days, man.
But like at the time, even consciously going, 5 years from now, I won't remember what this person looked like.
Totally.
So cool, right? But yet you still can't get that feeling.
Remember that one super dumb girl I dated? Oh, it's whole ego.
Yeah.
It's also just like a missing thing in your life. Remember that like really dumb chick?
By the way, your producer agreed with the ego thing.
Yeah, no, it's all ego.
Yeah.
Where it's like
Tara, the dummy.
Yeah, remember?
Sorry, she's not listening. She's too stupid to download anything.
But
she's probably dead. If I'm being honest.
Yeah, when we say dumb, we don't mean like we're not trying to be mean or anything. Like literally, you remember any of the ones? Like we're like,
there's more dumb guys than dumb. It's not misogynistic to call one human.
No, it's not even about gender. It's just about like it was really bad. Like remember, it'd be like, hey, Tara, who's the president? She went of the world.
Yeah.
But for some reason, my 24-year-old ass was like just raptured.
27.
No.
Truth.
No chance.
Come on, mate. That was in the compound. That was, you know.
That was 26. I was 26.
Okay.
Yeah, that's bad. Holy shit. I can't believe
it. But anyway, she was essentially an invalid.
Essentially, she was a bounce wall where it's like, it was almost like I just made her in my head what I wanted her to be. She was. Every time, who's that dude who was in The Notebook?
Gosling.
Yeah, Gosling's such a genius because he allows himself to be a blank canvas in most movies.
Yeah.
Where he just doesn't respond to anything. And then,
I mean, just let your lip kind of just hang down, your bottom lip.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he does.
Yeah, and then the women will project themselves on Gosling where it's like, right. Oh, he's silent, so that means that he really respects veterinarians. You know? And that's what I was doing with this chick where it was like, she's saying all this crazy shit, which means she thinks differently and she's special. But in fact, she didn't know how to spell pizza. And as someone who can't spell, that's really bad.
She did put a T in pizza, right?
Yeah.
That's wild. Because it is, I mean, I know you did this sketch, but it is literally written everywhere.
All towns.
It's it's on almost every sign that you see. There's pizza included with two Z's and no T.
Yeah, and I used to.
And a T is like an aggressive letter.
And that's when we realized that breakups are more about you than the chick, because that was one of the hardest breakups of my entire life, and it almost didn't even exist. It was like I couldn't tell you anything about her.
That breakup was so good for me because I was working a night job at the time.
Yeah.
That I worked from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. Then I had a half-hour drive back from Sherman Oaks to Hollywood where we lived. And normally when I got home, everyone was asleep. And then I'd be up for like four or five hours because that was like my day.
Yeah.
Because I'd wake up at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
But after Tara broke up with you, I don't even know if she did. She might have like just wandered into
a ditch. I think she thought I was a cat.
Yeah. I think she tried to give you away to the SPCA. And I would get home at 2:30 and you'd be sitting outside on the porch with your laptop because she already had like a new guy she was hanging out with that we were stalking actively on MySpace.
Yeah. Remember the three-guy drive jog bys?
Yeah, those were great.
Yeah.
But like then we would just hang out for like 4 hours. You would stay up because you just needed someone to talk to about how hard you were melting down.
I was so lonely.
Utter fool.
Like complete idiot. And I'm not saying that to be mean.
We wrote a whole screenplay
about that.
We pitched it to very big movie producers that literally looked at us like we were buffoons.
Yeah, because we had a relationship with a really big movie because we wrote a movie for like two. I mean, what happened with that fucking thing?
I was just cleaning out a box.
I mean, and bro, I found that the shit holds that, up. We wrote a stoner comedy. When was that? 07? 06?
2008, I think. 07.
I have no concept of time, but it's like. That fucking movie was hysterical, man.
It was funny. So I found the script that the copy that Ice Cube had handwritten his notes on.
Yeah.
In an old box.
Dude, you gotta keep that.
I kept it. I kept it. There was parts that was like, if we wrote it now, it would be way better. Like there was some bad writing structurally in it. But I like leafed through it in like an hour and a half. It was funny. But then we, based on this girl breaking up with you, she started dating this guy that owned a house in Silver Lake where it seemed like it was just like a hippie compound where they were having orgies.
Yeah.
It looked amazing.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing is like, it couldn't have been, maybe that's one of the reasons that made it so painful is cause looking at his life, we're just blown away because it was like, and he was like a hipster. He was like always so cool. And like, it was always
Indian
surrounded by
face paint in nearly every photo.
Yeah. It looked like an MGMT movie poster or, album cover. And then we heard his music and it was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Remember?
The
Fonhawks. Yeah, the Fonhawks.
I don't know what I was supposed to say, but
I don't care.
God, they were bad.
In the forest, I run with the Trudeau. It was like fucking terrible.
It was really shocking, but yet, you know, we were intrigued and I think slightly jealous of what was going on.
100%. You hate what you are. You know, Hitler was part Jewish.
My theory still is that he probably was a guy who inherited a chunk of money or had some family money, bought this house and was just like, hey, if any models want to just kind of live at the house for free, let's do it and paint each other's faces. 100%.
There's a lot of sadness there. Cause then later,
I think he might've been thrilled.
Yeah. He seems like, good guy. I'm sure he's a great guy, but do you know,
like a dick.
I mean, how funny is that? He also briefly dated actress Christina Ricci.
That's right.
And then I dated her later, years later, without even really knowing it.
Is that 100% true that you didn't really
know it?
I
kind of knew it. So then I learned some inside info about the dude later.
Never told me this. And the producer's giving us the wrap it up sign.
I got to wrap it up.
No, he's just yawning, though.
I don't want to call anyone out for pillow talk, but let's just say.
No, call him out.
No, it was like
it's what we do. You got to be honest with your listeners, otherwise
I'm always honest, but I also don't like to spread. If someone tells me something,
but you know how much saturation there is. I'm going to listen to everyone else. I'm going to listen to his podcast.
Go for
over
it.
There.
I have people that love this shit.
All right, but we want to know. We want the honest thing here. What was the pillow talk?
A lot of fear. He had a lot of fears. Like we all do, though. That's why I don't want to like call him out. And like, no one knows who the fuck I'm talking about.
You haven't
anyway.
Said his name, so give me one fear.
I don't want to. Like just crippling fears.
Sexual thing?
No, just a lot of, but all I'm saying, it was a weird coincidence that like that happened, that I was like, holy fuck, life is almost like being dictated by a really funny person. What are the odds of that? I mean, the odds that I started dating that chick, like a famous fucking actress.
Yeah.
that I shot. Like, she was my love interest in a fucking movie randomly. Yeah. And then I was like, and I was already way over, over the dummy. Yeah. So I could just like,
she was so dumb.
Thank you. How are you?
That one's
yeah, now we're pounding yeah. beers. That's why shit's getting on. I know, why didn't they laugh? You'll never forget.
So what's with the title?
Because it started
did it
with
start
me.
Out being about jokes?
Yeah, it still is kinda. But yeah. It started with me like trying to work on new material. I wanted an excuse to bomb because I was like stuck in that like doing some of the same shit that you saw me do in Rochester in like 99.
Sure.
Where it's like I wanted to bomb.
Okay.
So it's like, why didn't they laugh? Is like I'd show a joke that didn't work, and then I'd show what I had to do to make it work.
Got it. Okay.
And then that like allowed me to keep writing.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Remember some of our bombs? Remember that's my daughter doing doing that one charity event.
That was so cringy. There's two cringe situations for me. Well,
by the way, since these times, Pat is now a wildly successful television producer.
Yeah, no,
we haven't even talked about it,
and we're not going to. There's no reason. No one's interested, man.
Yeah, okay, we're no interested in fucking NyQuil benders.
It's bollocks is fun, right?
Right, that's true. we're doing a charity. Yeah,
tell the story because I can't even bear to say it out loud. It honestly,
no, it's so cringy, and I'll make up for what I said earlier about that gentleman who I didn't even name, but. This is way worse than anything. I mean, and this is on me. All right. So we're doing a charity event for kids with cancer. Mm-hmm. And
at a bowling alley.
That's my daughter, like the tight white jeans song in the beginning of the fucking show. We wear fake mustaches, tight white jeans, and jean jackets. We had Canadian tuxedos. Mm-hmm. So we go. You had a friend from Cornell who was working with a...
He's a successful PR guy.
Yeah. So
he was
like,
doing the event. It was a big event.
Very big event.
Hundreds of people.
Yeah. And it was at a bowling alley. So they set us up on the bowling lane. People did not stop playing. Did you say playing bowling? They stopped. they didn't stop bowling.
We were under the impression that our show would be separate from the bowling.
Right.
But it was just in the last lane during the bowling.
We're basically dodging bowling balls.
It was a nightmare.
And there was no children there. There was no families of children there. It was all like stupid, model-y Hollywood fucks.
Yeah.
So we're like playing and no one's listening and we're trying really hard. And at some point I just had a fucking meltdown.
Sure.
And I go, give it up for the kids with cancer because they're going to die.
Yeah, you did. And you didn't mean it meanly because I know.
I did not mean it meanly. I meant like the charity you're here for, you guys don't care about. Because I've done charities where people are actually invested in the charity. That wasn't it. They were trying to get their picture fucking taken. And I was like, this is about children with terminal illnesses and you guys don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they were bowling, they were drinking and not watching us mainly.
I know. Part of it was my own ego. My ego is not my amigo.
I think what it was is there was that the asshole that ran the event's name was Xander. I don't know his last name, but you were pissed because he put us in lane 26.
Dude, we almost got hit by a goddamn fucking bowling and I wanted to like snap him out of this phase of like, do you think what you're doing is good?
Yeah.
And then when South Park did that reality, Mr. Reality this season, I felt so vindicated because there was a charity event just like that. And there was a guy named Reality and he was like, hey, see, they killed Reality. That's one of the plot lines.
Okay.
And he's like, you're spending $250,000 on an event to raise $5,000 because you have to buy fucking champagne and hors d'oeuvres. Why don't you give it to the fucking people?
Right.
You know, it's just this obvious ridiculous charade
that
and so I wanted to point it out. Maybe I shouldn't have said they're gonna die because a lot of them probably didn't die, but I was trying to be like, this is a serious thing.
Do you remember walking out of there and we were lugging our equipment while people were still bowling?
Yeah, we were carrying like amps
and Ron
we're wearing
was
fucking
trying to...
fake mustaches that are peeling off.
Yeah,
we're in my 91 Plymouth Acclaim. We're all living in a fucking one bedroom apartment. We have nothing. This is like, we're not the bullies in this situation. We're like these, we're just in fucking, we're garbage.
And they just treat us like shit. Fuck that guy, Xander, because truthfully, you know, Matt was doing PR for the event and he got us to do it. And Xander probably didn't give a fuck, was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And threw us in lane 26 while 25 other lanes were full of like, you know,
dude, we're slipping on the goddamn lane. We're on the lane. Like we're not like in the fucking place where they're playing covers.
Well, because no one was wearing the goddamn, the bowling shoes.
They wouldn't give us the
issued.
Shoes. They wouldn't give us shoes.
And not to mention the bowlers weren't wearing them either because they were wearing highly manicured outfits that were
well
planned.
Those motherfuckers.
So fuck them all.
Nothing worse than fake charity, man. Nothing worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that was a bad one. The one that makes me cringe from That's My Daughter days was an early show we were doing at that place Good Times for Davy Wayne's, which used to be called Crane's.
Oh yeah.
We were doing a show there that we
hosted. Crane's not there anymore?
No, it's like one of the now it's this place Good Time at Davy Wayne's, and it's like a really popular bar. It's
Did
like
Crane change his name?
No, Crane's like
Darren Crane?
He's like long dead.
Is he dead?
I'm guessing. I have no idea, but my guess would be yes.
But he was such a positive guy.
He was cool. I liked him a lot. But anyway, he lost his bar. Now it's called Good Times at Davy Wayne's or something. But we were playing a show. Bad Times with Darren Crane's. Great place.
Great place. That was a fucking. We were playing a show there.
We were doing comedy, and we had comedians like Brody Stevens was there.
Brody, Jeff Richards.
Richards, and I remember Jordy when he was still a comedian, Jordy Elmer.
Yeah.
Jordy Fox. Whatever.
Jordy Fox, yeah.
You know, and we were really excited. It was like pretty cool. And you convinced me to just do a serious rendition of Tiny Dancer. And I was like, I don't know if, is that a good idea? And I'm blaming you because I do think it was mainly you.
Well, you were one of the reasons I learned Tiny Dancer way back in high school.
Yeah.
No, it was in the attic in Rochester.
Right.
Yeah, because we're also learning like golden brown texture like sun.
Yeah, no, I know. We were learning some serious songs, but at a comedy show, you decided, let's do Tiny Dancer.
Yeah.
And so we went up and did it, and people were mystified. And it was like, I remember making contact.
This is like almost before the internet.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God it was before the smartphone, because I'm just so thankful.
I mean, we would have been the fucking Star Wars kid.
Yeah.
If everyone had a smartphone, I mean, it was like jaw dropping. Like, we were trying to be like,
we finished the song.
Yeah,
but
we finished
chorus number three, just looking at you, and just we both were just like robots on stage, just trying to get the fuck out of there as soon as possible. It was weird. I think Crane's bar closed down because he was making and selling moonshine.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't.
How come
it wasn't,
he never tried to sell us? Remember when we had moonshine?
No, he did. Towards the end. I used to go there all the time.
Atlanta. Remember Atlanta, 99, for the ball drop?
Oh, yeah.
We panicked and ran. Or no, New Orleans.
It was an absolute blast. One of the best trips of my life, actually.
Me too. We got, what was that shit that's almost 100% alcohol?
We were drinking Everclear.
Everclear.
At age 19.
19.
Out of the bottle. Man, it was like the time of our lives. Like, it was right there for us.
Yeah.
We were 19 in New Orleans.
Ball
fake
dropping,
IDs.
Millennium.
It's the 2000 New Year's. And
Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. About 3 minutes before, we convinced ourselves that the terrorists were going to attack.
And we started sprinting.
And we sprinted.
To the black neighborhood.
Out of the, maybe the greatest, everyone else we were with hooked up with chicks at midnight.
Yeah.
And
you were sprinting.
Nearly got shot.
Yeah. It got dicey.
We sprinted
into gang activity. Yeah, it gets like real, like bad real fast.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, here's Tulane. Here's a dude with a gun.
We wanted this trip to be like a sexual awakening for us. We wanted to like kind of we talked like, yeah, let's really extend ourselves. Let's be outgoing. Let's do all this stuff.
Because me and Pat didn't get a lot of ass in high school. By the end, women liked us because it was like we're like developed skills based on not having friends. Like we're interesting and musically inclined.
Yeah, exactly.
But like this was the time in our life where we're like, let's prove to ourselves that girls want our dicks.
We spent almost the whole week at a gay bar.
We did.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Almost the entire week. And we defined it as, because the other guys were like, no, we don't want to go to the fucking gay bar. Like, no. And we just determined that was kicking it old school.
Yeah. It's
it was
like,
the gay
bar. We're going to Voo Dudes.
Yeah. But like, they were like, why are you doing that? Let's go drink the hand grenades full of liquor where the chicks have their tits out. And we were like, we're going to go kick it old school with the gay guy wearing the, it was a gay guy who wore a turtleneck and was reading fucking Proust or whatever.
Yeah, and we thought that was like the money move, because we used to love swingers, and we're like, no, let's take it off the grid.
Yeah.
And to us, off the grid was just a fucking flagrant gay bar.
I think we were like, dude, like they're playing the percentages, like watch, like Natalie Portman's gonna walk in and be like, who am I fucking?
Yeah, they get it.
Yeah.
And by the way, it turns out we've hit some gay bars in LA and done pretty well for ourselves back in the day.
Many.
Yeah.
Men.
Because dudes will fuck
anything. So how long are these podcasts?
Oh, we can wrap it up. I mean, this has been one of the longest ones I've ever done.
Well, I know that the Skylar Stone one was the longest one you've ever done, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pretty
long. How long was that one?
That was like 2 hours.
Jesus. Well, we're not touching that. That's also one of the probably the least downloaded because it was too long.
It's actually up there.
Is it up there? Your newest ones are getting the most traffic I've seen.
Yeah. Well, Bill Nye popped it a little.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did he talk about science?
Well, he's not Bill Nye, the non-science guy.
Okay, but I mean, I could see a guy like Bill Nye coming on here and being like, stop, science is out.
Right. Comedy well, Howie only. Mandel got into, he talked about like mental shit. That was really interesting. Howie's.
Who's that?
Howie Mandel. He's I'm a comedian. Sure. He's on Deal or No Deal and all that shit. You know Howie Mandel, fucking Bobby's World and shit.
I've never heard of that.
You never heard of Howie Mandel?
Yeah, of course I have. The bald guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great.
But he was talking about his like OCD and shit and how
that's fun. See, that's good. You want to hear people talk openly. That's great.
That's all we do here on this.
Good. But you know,
the only time I ever dial back is if I feel anyone's going to be hurt by my words. But like, as far as my shit, I'll fucking talk about anything.
Sure. Does Amy care if you say anything too much? She get pissed?
She
ever get mad?
Past. Yeah.
Ever gotten mad?
Yeah. She's got mad.
What was the one subject? And then I'll let you wrap it out if you want. The only reason I want to go is because I'm out of beer. But
yeah, we should just go drink more beer. Now, me and Amy used to be toxic back in the day.
Sure.
And now we're great. It's like, it's weird how you can get out of shit. It's like, like when we first met, it was like an electric attraction, but we just weren't quite ready. Neither of us were. No. And we just took it out on each other. And so any little thing would be a fucking whole deal.
And so she would listen to the podcast and get mad at you based on that?
No, we were kind of out of the woods by the podcast time, but there were still a couple incidences where one was Frost was on and we're talking about we did New Year's together in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about going to some like speakeasy and like I'd lost my phone that night.
When was this, by the way?
A year ago. Oh, and that was one of the last truly irrational fights we had. You know, we've been through a lot of shit. I'm not going to bring it up because, you know, she's a.
What was it about though?
Oh, this one was just like, oh, well, you said that she almost like pinned me down that I'd like shifted a story. Mm. But in reality, it was because I got in a fight with a Filipino.
Okay.
And I just didn't want to tell her about that. Like, it was like I was hiding something and she knew it. But it was about a fucking fight.
A fist fight?
A fist fight, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. It was like the guy got kicked out, but he fucking started throwing punches at me.
The guy was like, oh, there's the big guy.
Exactly. He's like, I'm on coke. I'm Filipino. I'm about to punch him in the face.
Did you punch him back?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but not well. Great. Not well. Oh, it'd have been like the top of the head.
Hurt your hand a bit.
Yep. Not very effective.
No, I know.
But the bouncers popped in. They fucking. But so like, it's weird how you're like trying to lie about something and they feel that you're lying and they know you're lying, but you're not lying about what would make them mad.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's you know, not to circle back because I know we're wrapping up, but.
No, I love circle backs.
You know, I was in Asia and the first night.
Oh, yeah,
I was,
you were just in Asia for a while.
Yeah, it was great. But so I was like, you know, we land, we're in Bangkok and it's the worst city in the world, by the way.
Bang penis.
Avoid bang penis. but like we go to a Muay Thai fight and it's a culture shock. I'd never been to Asia. You know, people are talking fast. They're doing things.
Right.
And we go to this Muay Thai competition and it's like people ranging from like 9-year-old boys to like 40-year-old women.
Yeah.
Just everyone's fighting Muay Thai.
Right.
And it's nuts. They're just kneeing each other in the midsection over and over and kneeing each other in the face and elbow. It's brutal to watch.
Yeah.
And so I'm like watching it. And at first I'm like, God, man, people, I'm not going to like, I'm here for 3 weeks. I'm not fucking with anyone. Like, I am not fucking with anyone the whole time. I don't care if it's a man, a woman, a kid.
Dude, those little Asians are some of the toughest people on the planet. It's because their moms are all nurses.
Right. I don't know if that's true, but...
Statistically, it's a correlation.
It's a correlation. But, you know, we're drinking, like, beers that cost the equivalent of, like, 19 cents.
Jesus.
We're sitting at the ringside. They're bringing them to us. The tickets were, like, you know, $4.
100 beers is $19.
It was around that. So we're drinking these beers, and, like, I'm on my fifth beer, and I remember thinking, like... Nah, these people are small.
Really?
Yeah, like you know what? Like I would, a couple $100, I'd jump in that ring.
Jesus.
And like really thinking and like, and I just remember it happening to me, like being like, I was pretty sure these were the toughest people in the world. And now I'm like, nah, fuck this. They don't know how to wrestle.
Dude,
I don't know how to
remember
wrestle.
Remember that one night we were hammered and Swarson just kept going, I just peed on my penis.
Yeah.
It's like when you're drunk. Like everything is like, it's like the sky's the limit.
Anything you want, man. World's the oyster.
Except, like, with me, a lot of times it was night terrors where I would end up naked behind a fucking plant.
Yeah, or a meaningful conversation.
Yeah.
That's about the just other pain. Thing that's off limits.
Dude, people that, like that shit would get annoyed with me. I'm like, so what is love? Like, yeah. I would just spiral all the time.
Yeah, I feel like you were in a weird fucking place, man. From, well, like, 23 to, like, 34. And, you
know. There was a good chunk of time where I was definitely a little off.
Sure.
I'd say 4 years. I'd say 24 to 29.
Yeah.
I was off.
That's when most Americans are having children and raising them.
Yeah, I just had...
You were finding yourself.
Yeah, I had a weird offness. Mm-hmm. The things I thought were sacred were not.
They were not. Let me say it's been fun.
It has been fun.
You know, I think... I don't know. I don't know what the downloads are going
to
be.
You don't have to plug anything because you're not a fucking monkey like me.
No, go ahead and plug your shit.
I got to plug stuff. Phoenix, this weekend, the House of Comedy, come. Valentine's Day, I'll be at the Hollywood Improv. Bring your wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or someone you just met that day on Tinder.
What's the date of that?
I don't know when it is.
I was trying to put it in my calendar so I could come. But
yeah, no, hook it up.
Cool.
It's going to be a blast. Mm-hmm. Hollywood Improv on Melrose. I am drawn on the wall in the mural, but I look like a Mexican because the guy specialized in whales. Last weekend of February, the Tampa Improv, Thursday through Sunday. And sometime in February, I will be on the OWN Network on Tyrese and Rev Run's show. We recorded it. It's pretty funny. Yeah, super black and fun.
Oh, sorry to ask. What were you on? I was on a flight back from Japan. That's what the type of thing I do is go to Japan whenever.
You really do. It's
and,
fucking hilarious.
What I believe was a Japanese woman, was watching something where you were wearing like a suit coat and a V-neck.
Oh, was it a burger show?
Was it a burger thing?
Yeah,
it was a cooking
network,
thing.
Yeah.
Is that an ongoing thing?
The Next Great Burger?
Is it ongoing?
We're waiting
or
to know
one
about
off?
Season two, but season one was pretty
it's
legit.
It's a full season.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun.
I didn't even know about that.
And I got another hour special coming out on demand with cable networks. I do not know what that means, but that's what I've been emailed in June, called Huge Pianist.
What about the sponsors? Are there any?
Sponsors?
I don't know.
Oh,
what you're doing,
I was podcasts. Supposed to do. I think
they'll splice it in.
Yeah, we don't edit shit, and you'll notice that based on all the fucking horrifically personal things we said. But maybe there was an ad read in the beginning that I haven't done yet. Okay. And OwenBenjamin.com for tour dates. Rate this, comment about it, spread it around, because that's how the fuck we keep the algorithms going. And watch 60 Minutes 7 Days on YouTube. Pat is highly featured in it. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking sweet.
I'll watch it.
100 thumbs ups, 3 thumbs downs, 4,000 views.
I think I know who those were from.
Yeah, it's from Pat.
No, it's probably from Sarita Moore.
No, it's from my brother in Scourstone.
Oh, fuck.
They wanted to be more featured.
Skylar created a second thing to give you 2 thumbs down.
Yeah, he has several. He has Skylar Bone.
Yeah.
All right. Much love. Thanks for listening. Pat DeLuca.
Thanks, guys. Fun.